Presented by DogNation.com, this is Dog Nation Daily, the daily podcast for Georgia Bulldogs fans. Here's your host, Brandon Adams.
Around here, there's no doubt we are definitely media, but we try not to take ourselves too seriously. I've never tried to pretend that Dog Nation Daily is Harper's Bazaar or something like that. We are a show for fans. I come at this thing from the perspective of a fan, and therefore, around here, there's going to be a lot of fan-type interaction. That's just kind of the way it goes. I, you know, have some fun at Georgia's rivals' expense because we're kind of a big show, big audience. We do it every day. We kind of stand out sometimes from the rest of the crowd. Therefore, we're going to have a lot of opposing fans check in on us from time to time. And on Twitter, at Dog Nation Daily, or in the comment sections of the shows we do, I get a lot of grief from opposing fans. And I'm fine with that. I feel like it's all in good fun. That's just kind of the nature of being a fan. There's the back and forth stuff. That's just kind of what you do. However, I'm a big believer in rules of engagement for trash talk, and I'm not being funny about this. I'm being serious. I think when it comes down to a little trash talk, when it comes down to a little ribbing of the rivals, there are some rules for engagement. For instance, Georgia has not beaten Alabama in each of the last 2 years. I don't like saying that, but it's true. So when the Alabama guy says, ah, BA, 1980, it's been 1980 since Georgia won a national championship. Until Georgia takes care of its business on the field against the Crimson Tide, to a certain extent, you got to sort of take that. There's not a great retort. Now, I still poke at Alabama all the time, but the fact of the matter is, they got a little bit of a cachet to do a little trash talk to Georgia, and that's a tough response. Clemson, because it is the reigning national champion, can kind of do the same thing. Georgia doesn't play Clemson very much as of yet. It's one of the reasons why I want to play Clemson on the field so that Georgia can get that retribution, and all of a sudden now teams like that can't poke at Georgia quite as much. Because ultimately, no matter what has happened in the past, it's what's happening right now that matters more than anything else. Which is why, based on the rules of engagement of trash talk, if I'm currently watching my team beat yours, then your team doesn't get to say anything to my team without coming across looking like a total buffoon and a total clown. Who is not aware of this right now is apparently the Florida Gators. Now, I don't know what all of this means, but it seems to be being added up on the internet as all a big jab at Georgia on the part of Dan Mullen, the Florida Gators. On this program, I am simply going to present to you the evidence and allow you to decide for yourself. Many of you are aware of this because you've already reached out to me on this saying, BA, we got to talk about this tomorrow on Dog Nation Daily. Well, we're going to talk about it. We're going to get into it in a very big way here. There is a belief that Florida coach Dan Mullen has attempted to troll Georgia with its announced spring game attendance total. Now, why in the world would anybody believe this? Because goofy Dan Mullen has talked about this now more than one time. Go back to a week ago, I guess it's last Monday, going into the Florida spring game and his weekly press conference, he admitted that occasionally he'll kind of, I think the way the question asked was, put his finger on the thumb of the spring game attendance, exaggerate his total. Mullen said, yeah, he does that, and he does it sometimes for a specific reason. Let me let you hear this for yourself.
A lot of people get competitive with spring game attendance.
Yeah.
Might even put their thumb on the scale a little bit, so to speak. Does it matter to you with the attendance?
No, the more the better for me. I don't know. Did we fudge it last year or no? Ours was legit last year. I do think some. I mean, I know this. I have fudged it before. Well, not ridiculously, but for silly stuff. Maybe the attendance matches the score of a certain game or something like that during the season. That we've done that type of stuff before.
Like 41,140 people.
What game is that now? Oh. Oh. Yeah, if you go, 41,014. Yeah, 41,140, right, or something. I don't know. You kind of do stuff like that maybe. I don't know. Have some fun. Well, I want to give away all my tricks. You keep asking. I got tricks up my sleeve for the spring game. If I give them all away now, no one's going to be excited to find them out after. You got to really search for them and see if you see little things.
So Mullen says you got to really search for them and see if you see little things. He's inviting people there to read into his spring game attendance total. And the one point when he's kind of asked the second question, that's kind of off mic, you can't hear it. It was a reference, I believe, to the Florida State score from a year ago, 41-14 or something along those lines. And he's saying, yeah, we might do something along those lines. But at the end of that clip, you hear him say, you gotta pay close attention. You got to read between the lines to figure out what the spring game attendance total means. Well, the announced spring game attendance total for Florida this past weekend was 39,476. What does that mean? Well, after the spring game was over, Mullen was asked about it again, and Mullen goes back down the same road again. Here is Dan Mullen.
Any hidden meeting in the score or the attendance?
I don't know. I didn't hear the...
It's like 39,476.
34,976. Yeah, there is. I'm going to let you guys figure it out. you guys think about it. Get back to me. Yeah. I don't know.
So he says, I don't know. The truth is, Mullen may not be aware of this. He may have somebody on his staff doing it. But apparently people did take Mullen up on his request, his invitation to read in closely to that number 39476. And there's a guy or a person, I don't know if it's a guy or what, named CamY_guy on Reddit, who apparently has done some digging. And CamY_guy feels like they know the answer. What was written on Reddit was the announced attendance for the spring game was 39,476. Many speculated this number didn't mean anything. After a lot of digging, the Reddit Florida Gators team has solved the riddle. 39 was the key. As many of you know, it's been 39 years since Georgia has won a national championship. But what was the 476 in reference to? Well, if you add up the total games played by UGA since 1981, which includes their Sugar Bowl win against Notre Dame, you will find that it has been 476 games since UGA has won a national title, that according to Reddit. Now, I don't know if that's real or not. I don't know, but I do think that Dan Mullen invites all of this when he says, read closely into my spring game attendance number. It's a trick I've got up my sleeve. We like to do this to have some fun, and then his own fans, apparently on Reddit, have chosen to do that. If this is indeed what Mullen has done, he could not look more foolish. Because I said before, if Nick Saban wants to talk trash about Georgia, he's got every right. He's beaten them head-to-head in high-profile games the last 2 years and really in painful fashion. Saban's got a little hand on Georgia right now. Clemson hasn't played Georgia, but Clemson's got what Georgia wants. It's got a national championship. Florida right now doesn't have anything that Georgia wants because if it did, Kirby Smart has shown over the last 2 years, he'll just go take it. And Dan Mullen in particular is very much the same way. I know that he thinks he's big and bad because he was the offensive coordinator at Florida like 10, 15 years ago. But the fact is, since he has been a head coach, matching up in games against Kirby Smart, it has not gone well for Mullen. Forget the fact the 19-point win for Georgia in this series last year. In Mullen's last year at Mississippi State before coming to Florida, he got dragged all over the field at Sanford Stadium by Kirby Smart there to the tune of an embarrassing fashion in a game that many pundits and certainly many people in Starkville would have told you that Mississippi State in 2017 was coming to Athens to win, but it did not go well for Mullen. It has never gone well for Mullen against Georgia. So for him to talk trash to an opponent, or I should say for Mullen against Kirby Smart, for him to talk trash against an opponent that he does not play well against makes Mullen look very, very foolish and very silly. And even if this is kind of the very exaggerated imagination of a Florida fan, there's already been a couple other things over the course of this offseason that I think set up Georgia to have even more motivation for the world's largest outdoor cocktail party, which is exactly the way that we want it to be. I mean, go back to a couple weeks ago when Georgia scheduled a non-conference series against Florida State. You remember the dumb thing that Dan Mullen said then?
We play Florida State, so people are trying to catch up to us with how tough our schedule is, to be honest with you. I mean, we play Florida State every year. Right, I mean, people made big. I guess if Georgia's playing them, they're trying to catch up to us, I guess, and toughen their schedule because we play one of the toughest schedules. I think, boy, you'd be hard pressed to find somebody non-conference next year. We're playing Miami and Florida State.
I just mean long term. Do you see? Would you like a home and home? Like they're maybe looking at Oklahoma. That's a report. I don't know if it's true. Would you like to get something?
Well, we already have that with Florida State.
Okay.
I think that's one thing that probably gets looked down upon. Would it be better to drop Florida State and schedule Oklahoma? That probably wouldn't go over so well. So I already have that in scheduling. Scott and I talk about it. You know, we play – one, we play in the Southeastern Conference, so we're already playing one of the toughest schedules in the country.
So, you know, that's kind of a dumb thing to say, hey, Georgia's trying to catch up with us when it comes to playing Florida State. There was also, I think, a misguided statement from Mullen not too long before that, and talking about quarterback recruiting. Thomas Goldkamp, a reporter that covers the Florida Gators, captured this on Twitter, what seemed to be almost a veiled reference to Justin Fields. I'll show you this on the screen. Mullen says about recruiting, I think we did a poor job of recruiting if guys were coming in and then immediately walking out the door because it was something different than what they thought it would be, and we lied to them during recruiting or we sold them on a dream that wasn't true. Goldkamp, apparently like a lot of other Florida reporters, took that as maybe a veiled reference towards Georgia's recruitment of Justin Fields. So pretty clearly, Georgia has been on Florida coach Dan Mullen's mind for quite some time. And as I said before, I think the contrast here between the silly way in which Mullen goes about this kind of stuff and the more, I guess, buttoned-up way that Kirby Smart goes about this could not be a more sharp contrast, and it couldn't be a contrast that more heavily favors UGA. In fact, when it comes to Georgia-Florida, this stuff is not new. It even predates Dan Mullen. Remember the silly stuff going in the 2017 game and the stuff that had been said about Jake Fromm? He was only capable of throwing slant passes and all that kind of stuff. Well, Kirby Smart's already told us his feelings about Florida when it comes to this kind of stuff. They can yap and they can yammer, but Georgia has a very specific way they want to respond with that, and a very specific plan for how they go about all this kind of stuff, and what Kirby said in 2017 is still relevant now.
Now, leadership group handles that. I mean, I've gotten to the point I don't really have to anymore. They understand. They know that we do our talking with our helmets. I mean, we want to have class. We want to have integrity. We really don't want to be talking to the media about the other team because nothing you should say.
So Dan Mullen talks about spring game attendance and goes on and on and on. Kirby says Georgia talks with their helmet in October, once again, in Jacksonville. My guess is UGA is going to do a lot more talking on the field. My name is Brandon Adams. This is Dog Nation Daily, the daily podcast for Georgia Bulldogs fans. Hello to you, and thanks for being with us. Live on video today, 10 a.m. Dog Nation, Facebook, YouTube, Twitter. We're on the radio at noon as well on Athens Sports Radio 960 The Ref. And boy, aren't they bleary-eyed this morning after a 20-inning baseball game for the Diamond Dogs last night. We're also a podcast wherever you find them, including the world-famous DogNation.com. And it seems appropriate to say here, after talking a good bit about Florida off the top of the program and Dan Mullen's love of numbers, well, around here we like numbers ourselves. We do the Gator Hater Updater today, and as luck would have it, it just so happens that it's been 900 days, 900 even days since those lousy, stinking Gators have beaten the Georgia Bulldogs, and Dan Mullen toted one of those losses last year. We think as long as he's at Florida, he's going to be toting a whole lot more, and that is great news to give you here today on Dog Nation Daily. It's also really fun for us on the program here today, too. Coming up in just a few minutes, I'm really lucky to be able to welcome in John Stinchcomb, the great former Georgia Bulldog, who's going to join us tonight at the Marlows in Dunwoody for our big event. Can't wait for that. Can't wait to have you there with us for that. That's going to be a lot of fun. But before we get to that here on our program today, I did want to squeeze this in kind of off the top of the show today. Over the next couple of days, you'll hear a lot of the conversations we had with Georgia players yesterday after practice in Athens. But there's one in particular that I think you're going to really enjoy here. I had a chance to catch up with Georgia wide receiver J.J. Holloman. Now, Holloman spoke to all the reporters yesterday, but I got a couple private minutes one-on-one with him. And, boy, you want to talk about a guy who is locked in and ready to go in this his junior season as a leader of this wide receiver core right now. I think Holloman is in great shape physically and also his approach mentally, I think, looks really good here, too. You like J.J. Holloman, you'll like this interview with him as a part of Dog Nation Daily.
Oh, it's been pretty fun, actually. I've been enjoying it, being out there and just knowing everybody's looking up to you, knowing that you got to understand everything inside and out so you can relate to other guys who may not, you know, understand everything. So it's been fun to me.
You know, there's been some curiosity about how things might be different with James Coley this year and the word, you know, more explosive plays, more deep threats. How much, I mean, obviously as a wide receiver, you like to get a lot of that kind of, you know, a lot more of that kind of stuff. But, I mean, how do you see this offense changing right now with him after we've almost been through now full spring practice?
Like you said, I mean, explosive, that's all we've been doing. We've been working on it. We got a whole bunch of stuff going in. It actually really looks good against our defense, going out there and just making a lot of big plays, just using each player for what they're capable of doing, basically.
One of the things that Kirby's talked a little bit about is you've got some guys coming in the summer, you know, Pickens and Blaylock and you know, presumably Cager, the transfer. How tough is it going to be for them after you and a lot of these guys have been through all this spring, them coming in and getting caught up quickly?
It shouldn't be tough. I mean, we got guys, like our leaders this year, I mean, same as last year, but we got a lot of guys that are welcome to, you know, getting them where they need to be able to go out there and produce and make plays. We just want the better for the team, so it wouldn't be hard for them at all.
In your first G-Day, you kind of showed out. You had kind of a big moment, and that almost ends up being kind of a foreshadowing of what the rest of your career has been like. For other guys who will have their first G-Day moment on Saturday, how important is that for them to maybe play in front of a crowd, get used to what it's at least somewhat close to a game day atmosphere? How important is that for them?
I feel it's very important, just having the chance to go out there and just, you know, getting comfortable with everybody being out there and knowing that you can still make plays with a crowd focusing on you and stuff like that. Getting that out the way, it clears you for the rest of your career.
There's some curiosity about some of the other receivers that you have in your group right now. What have you seen from Demetrius Robertson thus far this spring?
He's explosive. I mean, he's real fast. He's explosive. He's been making plays on the ball. He's been doing everything he needs to do.
How much chemistry do you feel like you have with Jake now? You guys have been together for a while. You've caught a lot of pass from him at practice. How much different does it feel now with him going into his third season, you kind of going into that same situation?
Our chemistry is off the charts right now. We've been bonding with each other, just making a lot of plays out there on the field. I mean, we can look at each other and know basically what's on each other's mind without even having to make any signals or say anything. So we're in the same space right now.
Good stuff there from J.J. Houghton as we go around the doghouse, presented today by Engineered Solutions of Georgia. If you got a damp basement, a wet crawl space, kind of a crack in your foundation, you want to trust my friends at Engineered Solutions of Georgia, get that fixed for you. They're the ones to trust because they have a full-time engineer on staff. When it comes to big-time projects like this, when you need them done well and precisely, you want to trust experts. Full-time engineer is an example of that. So please check out Engineered Solutions of Georgia. Phone number could not be easier. Remember, give them a call, 678-ESOG now. That's 678-ESOG now. Great stuff with J.J. Holloman. We'll have plenty more on him throughout today's show and throughout the rest of the week here at DogNation.com. But for now, we are getting excited about tonight, starting at 6 p.m. at the Marlowe's in Dunwoody. It's our spring game preview. We could not be any happier about sharing that time with John Stinchcomb. I know you're looking forward to meeting him. And as a preview of that, he joins us on Dog Nation Daily right now. So I shall say hello to the great former Georgia Bulldog and a terrific analyst paying close attention to what's going on with the team now and just a really good Georgia fan. It is John Stinchcomb back here on Dog Nation Daily. And as I welcome him in, I'll remind you, as I said before, your chance to see him tonight, 6 p.m., Marlowe's in Dunwoody. Let me throw this on the screen so folks can see the address there for that. It's 1317 Dunwoody Village Parkway. Once again, 1317 Dunwoody Village Parkway, starting at 6 p.m. tonight. It's the spring game preview. Myself, John Stinchcomb, haven't been back in a Marlowe's Tavern in a while. We're looking forward to being back at the Marlowe's and Dunwoody tonight, and we'd certainly love to have you there with us. And, John, thanks for being here on Dog Nation Daily today. Looking forward to seeing you in person tonight at Marlowe's. We appreciate your time.
But, buddy, I'm looking forward to it. I can't wait for to get back in some football action. I'm sure others are right there chomping at the bit with me.
Yeah, no doubt about that. We're all chomping at the bit around here for sure. Let me start with something else, though, before we get to that. Off the top of the program, I was talking about, you know, some of the things that Florida coach Dan Mullen has recently said. And, you know, John, one of the things around here, you know, to the extent I have a platform to use, I try to use it to say that I believe that Georgia's number one rival ought to be considered Florida. And so anytime there's a little, you know, ribbing back and forth between the two fan bases, I just have a lot of fun with that because I like building up the Florida rivalry. In addition to being a former Georgia player, you're also still a big UGA fan yourself. From your perspective, how do you think the Florida rivalry compares to the in-state rivalry with Georgia Tech? For a lot of Georgia fans, the Auburn game is a very big deal, and I certainly understand where that kind of comes from. You know, do you have a feeling, have you thought much about kind of how you would rank Georgia's rivalries and where you think Florida fits into that picture?
Yes, yeah, I mean, that's one of those age-old debates that'll rage on forever. Florida, in my mind, is number one, and that's because we're in the same side of the conference. And quite honestly, I don't mean to disparage Georgia Tech, but for a number of years, it hasn't been as competitive as some other rivalries. You know, Auburn, you can make a strong case for that, and really, it depends on what side of the state you're from. I think for folks that are on the west side of the state, Auburn obviously ranks pretty high. If you're from Dalton area in North Georgia, then Tennessee's going to rank up there closer. And if you're from, you know, the Atlanta or Metro Atlanta, then obviously you always want to beat your in-state rival. But I think you can make a really strong argument for Florida being that number one rival for the University of Georgia, and especially now. There's a number of years where you look back at some Steve Spurrier quotes, and he said that basically he wanted his rivalries to mirror that of Georgia-Florida, and mainly because, you know, they had such a good run during his tenure there. But I think those times have changed, and it makes for exciting football.
Hey, John, let me break in here just for 1 second. We'll get back to talking about G-Day and everything else going on in just a moment. I do have some breaking news that's happened just live as we're on the air right now. We can announce that Georgia has added to its 2020 recruiting class Jalen Temper, a four-star defensive back from Arlington, Texas, has apparently, this is just official now, announced his commitment to Georgia right here. So DogNation.com, I know yesterday Jeff had a great piece with Jalen Kimber up at DogNation.com. You can learn more about him there. Just a day after that, it looks like Kimber has decided to make it official, and he has chosen to be a part of Georgia's 2020 class. A big recruiting win here for a relatively new Georgia defensive backs coach, Charlton Warren. So Kimber, a guy that brings a lot to the table to like at a position that Georgia has done well with in recruiting lately, the defensive backs. Jalen Kimber signing up for the class of 2020. This is breaking news here as Kimber joins Georgia's 2020 class. And, John, I guess I'll ask you about the recruiting success that Georgia's enjoyed as of late. Once again, as I said before, I know you're a big fan of UGA. How amazed are you with the way that Kirby's gone about this process of loading this town with roster? And how much fun is it for you to watch seemingly every couple months here another major prospect, you know, kind of making his pledge to UGA? How gratifying has that been for you to see the recruiting success that UGA has enjoyed?
It's unreal. I mean, honestly, it puts a smile on my face because the cupboards are staying full. I think Kirby has done an amazing job of raising the bar and changing expectations for what recruiting looks like for the University of Georgia forever. You hear fans talk about if you could just put a fence around the state and keep in-state talent at home, how much better would the University of Georgia be? And now you see that Georgia's recruiting on a national scale. I mean, you're pulling in some of your top players from out of state, and it becomes commonplace for it to be 4- and 5-star athletes that are committing to the University of Georgia and coming to play ball. And I think that's a testament to Kirby and his staff that it wasn't just a one-year fluke. It just seems to be every year some of the top players in the country are choosing University of Georgia to come be student athletes. And, you know, it's exciting. It makes spring games and G-Days that much more exciting because as you're looking to replace your seniors and this year some of your junior classmen or underclassmen that have decided to go to the NFL, what can some of those 4- and 5-star high school players that you're so excited to get in Athens, what do they look like? And I think that's what one of the best things about G-Day is you finally get to see those 4- and 5-star guys were in the red and black.
And just to follow up on that just a bit, you know, what's different now compared to your era when you were making your decision? Back then, February was the only date, right? But now most of these guys will go and they'll sign on the dotted line in December, which moves the entire recruiting calendar up a few months. All of a sudden, April is a lot more crucial for the 2020 cycle than it would have been in previous years because you don't have those extra months post after the season to make a lot of headway in recruiting, which is really, if you think about it, John, kind of a big advantage for Georgia because, as you said, G-Day is such a spectacle now. 2016, there were 93,000 people there. There have been, you know, 60, 70, you know, 80-plus thousand the last two games, you know, prior to that. When you have this big spectacle in April, I think it does give you a big advantage because the month of April has become a much more crucial recruiting month just because of how the entire recruiting schedule has been compacted.
Well, I'm sure between you and Jeff, you've seen the evolution of recruiting and how it's changed and how it's a year-round sport unto itself. And you're right. The whole calendar has shifted and with two signing periods, and really there's a primary signing period and then a scramble for filling in some voids that you weren't able to address in December. It does make the earlier part of this calendar that much more important, and I thought it was pretty sage of Kirby to you know, one of the first things that he did, and you mentioned it, is make G-Day a priority for fans. I mean, there were a number of years where I'm thinking the average attendance was probably closer to 15,000 rather than 85,000,
yeah,
or whatever it might be that since Kirby's arrived. But what an attractive proposition to all your recruits when you walk into a stadium for a spring practice, a glorified spring pack practice, and your entire fan base is filling the stadium and overflowing into the parking lot. That's an encouraging sight that I think Kirby had some, you know, early premonitions that that was going to be of vital importance, and you see it now. I mean, guys are committing and wanting to join up just based off the excitement that you garner in an off season. I mean, it's April, you know,
and
fans are fired up. So, again, I think having a master plan and seeing what he's able to do and how each piece fits a much bigger vision is something that he's got to compliment Kirby on what he's been able to do.
Before I let you go, let me do a couple things on the game itself. And, you know, I, obviously being a very good player yourself at Georgia, you understand, you know, kind of the nature of G-Day. I think sometimes for fans it can be a little confusing. I know spring practice is crucial for making an impression on the coaches, but how much can you do to earn playing time, or can any player do to earn playing time on a G-Day itself? Does the fact that it's in the stadium with fans watching, television audience now, does that make it different than the scrimmages that come before that? Can you actually earn for yourself playing time for how you play during a spring game?
I think spring practice as a whole helps kind of set the bar, set the framework that you're going to build from when you roll into late July and August for training camp. You're not going to win and lose any jobs on Saturday, but you do put something in the mind of the coach of, hey, I like what this guy was able to show in as close as we could get to a game situation in April. So, I think there's good, better, and best. I think for some of your seasoned vets that you know what you've got, it's a good opportunity to get out there and compete and sharpen your skills. It's a better situation for your regular guys that, you know, you know who they are. They've been on campus for a year or two, and it's good for the coaches to kind of sort things out. And it's a best situation for your young guys that feel like that they've got a chance to finally contribute. Well, here's your opportunity to show us, not only to the fans, but primarily to the coaches, that you're ready and will be ready come August to step in and either be a role player or a solid contributor on a regular basis. So there's a lot of importance to this game, to G-Day. It's, again, you're a few months away from actually playing, but you want to plant a seed in that coach's mind that he can cast a vision when September rolls around that you're a contributor.
Let me squeeze in one more final question before I let you go, John. One of the things we hear from a lot of fans getting ready for this Saturday's game is, you know, Georgia got these great offensive tackles. Andrew Thomas may be a, you know, first-round pick next spring. Isaiah Wilson's going to get the attention of a lot of draft scouts too. And Georgia's also got this really good crop of young outside linebackers trying to make a name for rushing the passer. How much fun is that for you to watch, you know, Georgia's very good tackles against its very good pass rushers? And maybe think back to your own, G-Day experiences of, I don't know if you're blocking Thomas Davis or David Pollock or anybody like that, but, you know, these one-on-one matchups that you don't get to see during the season because obviously you're not playing your own same team. In a lot of ways, that ends up being the most fun part of this, right?
It's such a huge advantage. You know, the old adage of iron sharpens iron. Well, that's what you get from these tackles and these outside linebackers. And really, there's the outside linebackers are the unproven commodity, the tackles and Wilson and Thomas, they're proven studs in their field. And if you're able to beat Andrew Thomas on a consistent basis, then that's saying something. I don't know anybody across the country in college football who could make that claim. It'll only make these young guys that are, who's it going to be? Who's going to replace the DeAndre Walker in the pass rush that's still an unknown. And so when you get to go up against good competition, that makes you better. For a number of years, for me, it was Charles Grant. And then after he goes to the New Orleans Saints in the first round of the draft, it's David Pollock. So it makes you better when you compete against quality opponents in practice. And I think G-Day will be fun to watch. I remember last year, Cade Mays and Brenton Cox going up against each other, and you thought, man, both these guys can play. So it's fun to get out there and some of the names, see what they do on the field.
Hey, John, it's so great to have you today on Dog Nation Bailey. We're looking forward to seeing you tonight at the Marlowe's in Dunwoody. It's just really fun to be able to hang out. I know a lot of dog fans looking forward to seeing that as well. 1317 Dunwoody Village Parkway tonight starting at 6 p.m. It's our spring game preview with John Stinchcomb. You want to come out, talk some football with us? We'd love to meet you. We'd love to hang out for a bit, and we're all getting ready for G-Day on Saturday. John, we'll see you tonight. Thanks for being with us here today.
Looking forward to it. Go Dog.
Great stuff there from John Stinchcomb. You love the Go Dogs there at the end. Can't wait to see you tonight, 6 p.m. at the Marlowe's in Dunwoody. That is going to be fun. Something else that's fun. How about that? A little breaking news right here during the show. Talking to John Stinchcomb, getting ready for G-Day, thinking about that long list of recruits who are going to be at G-Day. And lo and behold, here we get a Georgia commit right here during the program today. You love, love, love when news breaks live on Dog Nation Daily. This was worth getting up for this morning. Jalen Kimber, a part of this 2020 class for the Georgia Bulldogs. Once again, a state that was good for Georgia defensive backs a year ago when Georgia goes into Texas to get Lewis Seen. Once again, the same thing here with Jalen Kimber as well. My guess is today, starting at 3 p.m., for Before the Hedge is presented by Kroger, my guess is that Jeff Sintel will have a lot to say about what Georgia gets and Jalen Kimber. I'll invite you to read some of the things, including just recently, that Jeff has written about Kimber at DogNation.com. So you're going to want to check that out and get yourself acquainted with what Georgia is doing as it tries to establish some momentum for its 2020 class. We know how big G-Day is going to be in that regard, with guys like Kendall Milton and Keely Ringo on campus, another defensive back there, of course, with the rumors that Paris Johnson Jr., the five-star offensive lineman, may be on hand, Mikael Sherman taking an official visit, the five-star linebacker. There is a lot of attention that's going to be paid to Georgia recruiting come Saturday, but you love that Kirby Smart says, we don't have to wait till Saturday. We can go ahead and kick this thing into gear right now. And Charlton Warren, the newly minted, I guess, of the Georgia assistant coaches, making a name for himself here by going into Texas and getting Jalen Kimber. So fun stuff on that. The 2020 class has grown by one as Kimber's in the fold. Check out DogNation.com. And then on Before the Hedges a little bit later on today, presented by Kroger, as Jeff Sintel gives you all of his analysis. But for now, there's more Dog Nation Daily.
Let's take a look around the rest of the league. This is SEC Through.
By the way, not to put too fine of a point on this, but off the top of the program, we talked about Florida and what Dan Mullen may have done with his spring game attendance figure, or what Florida did in Dan Mullen's name. That may be the more likely thing here, that some, guy or person, gal, whomever, working in the athletic office had this concoction of, what if we did 39476, whatever it was, and all the Florida fans gonna have such a good time with this. Let me tell you what Florida fans are not having a good time with right now. Have you taken a gander? Have you taken a peek at what Florida's recruiting list looked like, its visitors list for its spring game this past week? It was not a pretty sight. An entire constellation worth of three stars, the best that I could tell. I don't believe DeMarcus Bowman was there, for instance. I don't think any of those, big name in-state guys from Florida, at least a lot of the ones you thought might be there. Apparently they had other plans on Saturday. So maybe a little bit of success for Mullen's not a bad thing. He can entertain Florida fans with his made-up phony spring game attendance number while Georgia gets actual verifiable 4 and 5 stars in the building for its spring game. And by the way, it goes out and gets a big-time commit before the spring game even rolls around. So do with that what you will. But I thought that was kind of interesting. Let's do our SEC through here. And I mentioned before, it's Before the Hedges presented by Kroger later on today. A great program every week. Crucial this week for more information from Jeff Sintel on the recruit Georgia just got, the 4-star defensive back Jalen Kimber. Let me also say, in speaking of Kroger, we're heading towards Easter this weekend, and your local Kroger's got hopping deals for Easter. Did you see what I did there? I think you probably did. Well, it gets even better. How about 20% off all your Easter needs? Plastic eggs, basket grass. Now, if you don't have kids, you may not know what basket grass is, but trust me, when you have young children, you better know what that is. You better have plenty of it. Just like the Posse Easter egg dyeing kits and so much more. I kid you not, we have already been dyeing Easter eggs in my house now for like several days. Every one of these holidays, we just gonna, you know, when you have young kids, they all just kind of get blown out of the roof. And Easter and the Easter egg hunts are another example of that. My kids, I think, have an Easter egg hunt tonight. It's like a whole series of Easter egg hunts leading towards the big day on Sunday, which I guess is the major. But nonetheless, check out Kroger for your Easter stuff. All right, a couple things here. SEC3 related. This is not that big of a deal, but I did want, at least want to mention that. Sometimes Georgia fans get a little concerned about the fact that some Georgia fans are always concerned about something. Are you following me on this? That every month out of the year, there's some pocket of Georgia fans hand-wringing about something. And I think sometimes Georgia fans can have a tendency to think, well, that's just the irrational portion of my team's fan base. That's just kind of what we do. But the truth is, if you look around the rest of the SEC, virtually everyone's the same on this. And I'll give you a quick specific example. I have been perusing some comments from Alabama fans as of late. I told you yesterday, I'm kind of a dork. I like the spring aftermath of a lot of these different programs. I like watching the press conferences, even Mullins. I like watching all these guys kind of break down their spring. I also like seeing what fans are saying, too. And on some of the Alabama message boards and some of the social media stuff, there seems to be a little bit of an Alabama concern right now about Tua Tagovailoa. I guess he didn't exactly light the world on fire during the spring game on Saturday. I know he threw at least one pick. I think Alabama's a team threw four in that game. I guess he had at least one of those. So a little bit of concern coming off that for Alabama. And I think this is kind of silly because I think Tua Tagovailoa is still a really good quarterback. However, honesty does compel me to admit that one of the questions I think that Tua has to answer for himself this year is how he plays against the best defenses that he sees. A year ago, and maybe this was injury-related, maybe it wasn't, but a year ago, Tua was better against bad defenses than he was against good defenses. Jake Fromm, by comparison, not necessarily true. You can make a case that Fromm last year against Florida, against Auburn, against Alabama, even though it was a loss for Georgia, Fromm really played about his best football against the best defenses that he saw last season, the LSU game, I guess, notwithstanding there. So, you know, for what it's worth, there's some Alabama fans a little concerned about Tua Tagovailoa. I guess in the spring, every fan base is going to find something to be worried about. Tennessee fans may have something to worry about. Did you see what Vols basketball coach Rick Barnes said? So he was at one point in time rumored to be maybe taking the UCLA job. They offered him a massive yearly salary to come out west to Westwood there in Los Angeles to coach the hallowed Bruins. But apparently they couldn't agree on a buyout. Would UCLA pay the substantial buyout that Barnes had at Tennessee? And so therefore, Barnes decided not to go. Now, when asked about this yesterday, Barnes was truthful about it. I'm going to paraphrase. I don't have the audio to play. But he essentially said, yeah, if we could have worked at the buyout, I might have gone to UCLA. But since they weren't willing to pay it, I guess God doesn't want me in L.A., so I'm going to stay here in Knoxville and coach the Tennessee Vols. Now, if you're a Tennessee fan, what do you do with that? Now, I'm not saying you're supposed to lie, but maybe the complete and total truth isn't always necessary. What's the phrase that Tennessee fans like to use? VFL, Vol for life? Barnes would seem to be a Vol out of convenience. I'm not quite so sure that's going to work out so well in Knoxville. I'll also say this. I'm kind of out of time here. I was going to do something on the y'all know I like these way too early top 25 ESPN things they do, and they've got a new one looking at their top 25 where they mention the under-the-radar superstar, or just maybe star, for each of the top 25 teams, and it's way too early top 25. Tay Crowder gets mentioned for Georgia. I think we'll probably end up talking some more about this later on this week because, obviously, around here, I hype up to the heavens guys like N'Kobe Dean and Channing Tindall and the more, you know, renowned recruits. Maybe Crowder is going to have a bit of a moment for Georgia in 2019. We'll probably talk more about that in the days ahead. For now, we'll make that your SEC through. Okay, I've also got some business I want to take care of here just for a second, but the first one of these involves you, potentially, maybe, but it also involves something you want to be aware of for those of you in the Atlanta area. First of all, let me start with this. As I've told you on Monday, it is a big, big series coming up for the Braves on April the 26th when they're back in back at SunTrust Park It's going to be Ronald Acuna bobblehead night. Ronald Acuna Jr. bobblehead night. How about the home run Acuna hits last night, kind of going down to one knee and just absolutely sending a moonshot into outer space? Acuna is so much fun to watch. And on April the 26th, with the start of that new homestand, the Braves are going to be giving away to the first 15,000 in attendance Ronald Acuna bobblehead night. It's a great-looking bobblehead. There are 15,000 of them. If you're one of the first 15,000 through the door that night, you have your chance to get one of those. So keep this website in mind. It's braves.com/tickets for more information on that. Braves.com/tickets, and you can find out how you can hopefully get your tickets while they're still available, because they are going to go fast, for Ronald Acuna Jr. bobblehead night coming up on April 26th against the Colorado Rockies. But on Monday, we also announced a giveaway here on Dog Nation Daily, and we've tabulated all the responses. Some of you sent these in on social media. Some of you sent these in at theworldfamousdognation.com, but nonetheless, we kind of put them all together. And we have drawn out our winner, and congratulations goes out to Bubby Dean. Bubby, you are the winner of the Braves tickets, courtesy of the Atlanta Braves and Dog Nation Daily. So you will have a set of four tickets for the big game on Monday, April the 26th, against the Colorado Rockies. Great stuff there. And for those of you that were not lucky enough to win the Braves tickets, please go to braves.com/tickets, and you can get yours for the Ronald Acuna Jr. bobblehead night and everything else going on at a really fun spring and summer there at SunTrust Park with the Atlanta Braves baseball chop on. All right, speaking of baseball, I did want to mention very quickly, did y'all see what happened with the Diamond Dogs last night? Now, this was kind of funny because we had practice yesterday, Georgia football practice, and we were there for that, talking to some players after that. Then as I'm leaving, you know, the Diamond Dogs are kind of getting going against Clemson there. There were some Clemson fans in the building, some Georgia fans in the building. Kind of an incredible atmosphere. And then I'm driving home, listening to some of it on the radio and 960 The Ref. Wake up this morning early, like 5 a.m., to see tweets from like 2 hours ago of a baseball game that had still been going on. But Georgia goes out and takes care of business in 20 innings against Clemson. I don't know that you want to play a midweek game that's almost the same length as three games. But if you're playing Clemson, I guess you want to beat them. And so Georgia did do that. So congrats to Scott Strickland, the Diamond Dogs, for going out and getting a 20-inning win against Clemson last night. That was a wild, wild affair. And how about the UGA students who kind of filled the building late, made a bunch of noise? That was a lot of fun. Something that was decidedly less fun, though, and this is kind of mostly video only, I apologize to our radio and podcast audience, but it is a follow-up on something we've talked about a good bit as of late. I've told you before that I've been trying to work on my listening face when someone's talking, a more pleasant look on my face. Well, last night's a total disaster, and maybe it's exactly what I deserved. If you follow me on Twitter, at Dog Nation Daily, the other day I made a calculated error, to be honest with you, something I probably shouldn't have done. Young lady got in a little bit of trouble with the law. Her mugshot was posted on Twitter, and I had some fun at her expense, saying that she looked like she was just told they stopped serving breakfast at 10:30. I'm not making fun of her. I was just more making fun of the look that she was making on her face. Well, karma came back and got me in a big way yesterday, because as I'm interviewing, I'm not even sure which Georgia player this was. Apparently, I got caught on camera as well, and the lady who I made fun of on Twitter, her face nowhere near as ugly as the face I made yesterday. Our buddy Mad Dog, 19 on Twitter, commits an act of assault by sharing a photo of me where I'm interviewing. I'm not sure who this is because I can't see the player. I look worse in this photograph than I've ever looked in any picture I have ever taken. This is a really, really bad job for me with the listening face. If you go to my Twitter, at Dog Nation Daily, for those of you listening on the radio or the podcast, you can see this for yourself. Not a good moment for me. And as my buddy Connor Riley explained to me, BA, if you're going to stand at the front with these player interviews, you got to know you're going to show up in these photos. You need to have a good look on your face. Well, yesterday I did not do that. Nonetheless, I'll see you at Marlowe's tonight, starting at 6 p.m. with John Stinchcomb for our spring game preview. It'll be fun. We'll see you there.